You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Yeah. Hour has arrived, and we head down to New Orleans for Augie.
Paul, hail to the victors.
Augie, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me, Paul?
That would be a big Paul, yes.
Okay, I said hail to the victors.
Hail to, yeah, I've heard that a few times.
Conquering heroes, hail, hail, da, da, da. I don't know the words to it, but I always liked the song, Paul.
It's good.
It is a catchy song. Paul, doesn't Jim Harbaugh look like his dad, Jack?
He does.
I mean,
he does.
He really favors him. And I tell you what, Jack was one happy guy, and so was his mom. So
they all were. I mean, I mean, don't you wish every family could be that
yes.
happy for you?
Yes, absolutely. Because there are a lot of people out there that are really sick. But I think it was his time. He's due. And now it would be appropriate for him to go to the NFL. Don't you think that would be the best exit stage left for him?
Yeah, because there's, for a lot of reasons, but I would definitely leave. But so far, Jim has not called either one of us for advice, has he?
Well, I'm glad for him, not so much for the Michigan fans, but Paul, did last night lay to rest any argument about whether Jaden Daniels shouldn't have gotten the Heisman?
You know, that's interesting that you say that, because Penix had a chance to make that a big conversation piece, and some people were willing to, but the right person got the Heisman. You are correct.
Yeah, I know. Probably 9 out of 10 LSU fans who watched that game were watching it with an eye to how is Penix going to do. I mean, he really had a good game against Texas. But last night, his immobility.
He was terrible.
I mean, if you put Daniels in that slot, he would have gotten first downs, kept drives alive. He wouldn't have overshot open receivers. He, in addition to just being a magician, he's a good passer, and I think he would have hit a lot of those. And Washington would have won had Jaden Daniels been their quarterback, of course, all year and familiar with the team. But so that was a win for me as far as putting that to rest. But, Paul, you know how you hate people who call in and tell you, well, I told you back in July this was going to happen. You really don't like those people,
well,
right?
Well, partly because I know so many people who do that.
Well, I told you in July, and you didn't buy it, that the SEC would not have anybody in the finals and would not win it.
You did tell me
now,
that. I remember.
I was almost close in not having any SEC team in the playoffs because Florida State got reamed. I don't believe that, but, you know, got to throw that out there. I predict, though, Paul, next year the SEC will have a team in the 12-team playoff bracket.
Yeah,
the
question
is,
that's a good bet.
How many teams do you think will get in? I'm thinking 3 is not out of the realm of possibility, even maybe 4. But what do you
anticipate
right now?
I think 3 is the best bet until we get a better idea of what it really is going to be like. And I mean, I know what the schedule is. Well, I've already seen it, and so have you. But you never want to trust this committee until you get a sample.
Well, your buddy's gone. I didn't know this was his last year. I didn't know this was his swan song.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Hancock's leaving, right?
Well, yeah. That, by the way, I would say that Bill Hancock was a great friend to the SEC.
I would, too. I think he was a great friend to you, Paul.
Well, I've always liked Bill. I saw Bill, he was last week in Pasadena, but Bill, my theory is Bill was the most important person in that room this year for Alabama.
I would
even
not
though he's
doubt
not on
that.
The committee.
And I saw, wasn't it President Keenum on the field last night presenting him football and farewell?
Well, Dr. Yeah. Keenum is the chairman of the College Football Management Committee. That's the group that oversees the CFP.
Well, he looked good representing Mississippi State, the SEC, on the field. So, anyway, hey, Paul, one last thing. Did you see where Legion jumped into a fish tank in Leeds, Alabama at a Bass Pro Shop?
Sadly, I did not.
Okay, Google it. Dude jumps into a big aquarium tank and gets arrested. It's all over the internet, and I think that's Legion. That explains why he was absent a few days last week. Anyway, Paul, go Wolverines.
Go Blue. Thank you so much. How about Mark in Georgia? Hey, Mark, go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
I had a lot of stuff written down here and stuff, but after Larry's call a while ago, it kind of changed my train of thought.
Okay.
Now, I was my father was in the Navy, and he was from Little Falls, New York. My mother was Leakesville, Mississippi. And there was 13 people in our family, and her brother brought my father home and met my mother and got married. I was born and raised in Mobile, Alabama, and I've been a Roll Tide fan ever since. So that Yankee stuff Mr. Larry's talking about, I just don't get it. But I wish Mr. Larry would make his New Year's resolution. If he would like to talk about Alabama, please stop coming on here with his drunken stupor and representing Alabama. Please, you're an intelligent person. Get your ass together and come back on here and have an intelligent conversation with these people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Todd is up next. Todd.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. Look here. What's up with all the damn disrespect for Alabama? Let me tell you something, Georgia. You didn't make it to the playoffs because Alabama whooped that ass for you. So you ain't going to get a shot. You're hollering for a shot. I wish we could get a shot. I heard Booger's fat ass on there talking about Georgia needs a shot. You ain't getting a shot because we whooped that ass. And if you want to, if we'd have had a damn center, we win the game and we're not having this conversation. Plus, Paul, I see the preseason polls. They got us ranked number 5. Where in the hell is Washington that beat Texas? And Texas is up there ahead of us. Y'all have lost your damn mind with this new age of football. But anyhow, roll damn tide, Paul.
God was mighty angry. Why is everybody so upset? Mike is calling next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul.
How's
it going?
You?
I'm okay. I think, yeah, I'm proud of Michigan. One thing I'd like to interject is that how many successful NFL coaches are coaching college football? I think there's only one. And that's Harbaugh, and they gave him the time, and he got it done. And I'll tell you what, that football team to me looked kind of SEC-ish and with class and everything else. So kudos to them. And the last thing I want to say is I want to kind of take up for Larry a little bit. Everybody's picking on Larry, and well, I think what Larry was trying to say is that the reason that Alabama beat Georgia was because they played and beat about 6 or 8 really good SEC West teams. And unlike Georgia, they didn't play teams that strong. And that's why they got whooped.
Hold on a second. Georgia played Missouri, top 10 team. Ole Miss, top 10 team. Obviously, Alabama, we know that story, but, I mean, they didn't exactly
play. What I mean, Paul, what I mean is if you play all those teams over and over, it takes a toll.
Well, sure it does.
And you either you know, depending on injuries.
Tell me who they played Tennessee. Who did Alabama play that you think was significantly more difficult than what Georgia played?
Just the entire SEC West.
Well, that's a broad statement. I would say LSU was a team that Alabama had to play that Georgia didn't
have
to play.
Well, I know, and that's records talking.
A&M, yeah, I mean, A&M and LSU were really the difference because Alabama played Kentucky and, quite frankly, but Alabama didn't play Missouri. How do you think Alabama would have done on November 17th at Columbia, Missouri? You think they would have won up there?
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, probably
but,
not.
But the thing is, Paul, it's about the scheduling where you have teams that, especially Georgia, in the last 3 years, you go look at their schedules, they're able to get stronger as the year goes on.
Mike, I hate to disagree so strongly, but 2 years ago, Georgia opened the season against Clemson, which was a number.
I understand, and they beat Notre Dame. But that's only one or two.
No,
teams,
no, that's not. You're wrong. They were a top three team when they played them. They played Oregon last year. Same thing. Georgia
and
has
Paul,
played
about,
a very aggressive
what about,
schedule.
What about the dissolving of the conference? You would expect that Georgia this season, with the schedule, would be playing.
Well,
some
there were.
Competition in the SEC.
I mean, Mike, I hate to, breaking news here. They had a game scheduled at Norman, Oklahoma. I don't mind a good argument. I do mind one that is completely false. We'll take a break. We need a break. Give me a...
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back. Great to hear from all of you. And let's check in with Robert in Mississippi. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Very well. Thank you.
First thing I'd like to do is give a shout out to the Million Dollar Band. My daughter's a member of it. And if my memory serves me correct, it's the first time that the Million Dollar Band has ever marched in the Tournament of Roses Parade. and they're 400 strong, and I believe they were the biggest band to ever do that. My question to you is, have you heard anything about who could possibly be the next defensive coordinator? I'm hearing DJ Durkin, and I'm not too sure how that will really work out there in Tuscaloosa.
You have to look at it from a couple of different ways. By the way, we were set up in the end zone for our pregame show last Monday, and the entire band walked by, and I was able to say hello to a number of people in the band, and they are a great group, having been in that parade myself. The name to keep your eye on is Tavarius Robinson. He was essentially the number two defensive person under Kevin Steele. He did a lot of the on-the-field play calling this year. If you remember, there was some confusion early on. The plays were not getting down fast enough. If Nick Saban liked what he saw this year, don't know why he didn't. I think T-Rob is probably the favorite. Durkin's name comes up for every job because he is well thought of. He's been around Ole Miss and A&M, and obviously he was the head coach at Maryland. So I think my guess is internal, but I do not know what Nick Saban is currently thinking.
Yeah, I'd say he's a little bit more successful on the defensive side of the ball, not in terms of wins, losses at A&M than he was at Ole Miss, because they gave up a lot of yards at Ole Miss, but they had a better run defense than they did pass defense this year at A&M.
Well, you have to remember, Robert, the defensive coordinator is only as good as what he has around him. I think Durkin's a good coach, but it's just, I think the real issue is whether Nick Saban wants to bring somebody new in. He does not like that, although he's done it many, many times. Clyde is up next. Hello, Clyde. Didn't hear from Clyde. We will talk to Chad next in Tennessee. Hello, Chad.
Yes, sir. Mr. Pump, it's really an honor to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Seeing throughout the years I've been watching your show, a lot of Alabama fans are like, you know, throwing it in everybody's face. They're dominant. We understand that. They've had a great recruiting team throughout the years. But like when one of the callers were talking about how they just destroyed Georgia, but they surely forget how last year they didn't even have a seat at the table when it came to going to the SEC championship. They had to watch it from the couch. So they're really quick to argue about this year, and then so when Georgia beat them the first time in the national championship, they had their best wide receiver go out with an injury. And Georgia suffered from a lot of injuries all the way up until the actual SEC championship game. And you got to be the next man up mentality, but trying to argue that we should have been there. It was the top four teams in the nation. So it's kind of, with the committee, it's kind of hard to say we should be there and stuff like that. Even though I'm a Georgia fan, I'm stationed here at Fort Campbell. So I was just wanted to think what you thought about how quickly people forget about the year prior when they lost.
Well, Chad, fans, I mean, you have a real job. You're serving our country. Fans don't view things the way practical people do. They only see them through the prism of their team. Therefore, they look past all that. And also, fans nowadays, with the current state of the media, they don't look at objective sources of information. They look at sources of information that feed their favorite team's importance.
All right, I get that. Well, I appreciate you having the time to talk to me.
Chad, it was our pleasure, and you be safe. Thank you so much. Ricky is in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great, Ricky.
I don't know if anybody touched on Alabama and Michigan when they played. I don't know if anybody really touched on really how experienced that Michigan was. They played together for a long time, and I'm looking at the defense of Alabama, who was, even though they had five-star players and they're good players, but they kind of got caught in looking in the backfield and kind of you know, kind of got out of position a few times, especially at the end of the of regulation. I don't think, you know, they talked about their overtime play, but I think they lost the game in the fourth quarter when they had a shot that, I mean, you know, when it was up 20-10. And I think the defense kind of, they got a little confused, you know, and I think that's just lack of experience right there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there was also a tinge of arrogance and cockiness going into that game that I noticed and detected.
Of course. But that's ain't that the Bama way, though?
It is. and by the way, Ricky, it works about 98% of the time.
Yeah, well, but when you got a team that's been battle tested like Michigan, they have. They've been, you know, they've been through some, I mean, they've been embarrassed quite a few times, and a lot of those players was on those same teams. So you don't know, you can't really measure heart, you know what I mean? I give them their kudos, man. But I didn't watch a look at that game last night. I have no interest. I'm sorry.
Well, Ricky, I've always felt like we've been close friends. I took the bullet for you. I watched it, and today I'm sorry.
Well, man, hey, I was watching Gunsmoke, man.
I would have enjoyed that a lot more.
Yeah,
my wife said after the second touchdown, she said, "This is going to be worse than TCU. Why are you watching it?" I said, "It's too long of a story."
Yeah. What's the thing now as far as since football is over now and the off season started now, I guess everybody's just going to get rehyped for their own team again. I guess I start ringing the
cowbell. We're going to give everybody the end of the week, and then starting Monday, it's football season's right back. We're going to act like we're going to go through a mini media days on Monday.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be.
Well, here's the most important thing to remember, Ricky. We have to learn, as fans of respective schools, how to dislike Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Alabama fans are already well underway after losing to Texas.
Yeah. Well, we'll get out. I'll start hating Texas when they beat our brains in. You know.
Yeah, so. Well, count on that.
All right, we'll talk to you later,
Ricky,
Paul.
Always great to hear from you. And don't forget, Ricky, don't lose that number. It's the only one. Okay, nobody wants to hear that song. Sam is in Tennessee. Hello, Sam.
Thank you, Paul, for having my call.
Thank you.
Congrats to Michigan on winning the championship. I was going to make a comment, and I'll hang up and get your answer.
Yes, sir.
Do you think Alabama really beat themselves against Michigan, then Michigan beating them?
I may be in the minority because I saw the same game everybody else did. I just saw it differently. I think Michigan beat Alabama all over the place. And Michigan just could not put Alabama away, just like they couldn't put Washington away. They had a couple of chances to slam the door. One was a fourth down call early, maybe late in the second quarter. I would have liked to have seen them go for the way they were running the ball. And then they just got very pedestrian and dared Washington. In the Alabama game, it was just miscues. They were jittery. They were out of sync. But on the line of scrimmage, they were winning that significantly.
Yep. Well, thank you, pal. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much. We are going to take a short break. Okay. Actually, the same length that every other break is, but we don't want you to think it's going to be too long, because I know you want to stick around and hear more compelling calls.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! Playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back in I-Man is the much maligned I-Man, according to several callers, is up next.
War damn eagle, Paul Feinbaum. War Michigan. And you know what? If I never saw Pat and Bo Nix on TV again, if I never saw the Manning brothers on TV again, put the Harbaugh family on there. That's the new face of football. I'm sick of them others. I mean, was that just an ass? You just got to appreciate what we saw last night. Did not involve one Bammer fan tearing up a TV, going and trashing somebody's yard, calling in and whining, "What about me? What about me?" Kiss the wing. Kiss the wings. You know, you got to love it. Michigan come in and stole little feller's thunder. Then his defensive coordinator decides he's going to quit. Then all of a sudden, this breaking news, Hugh Freeze going to call plays next year. Hugh Freeze going to call plays. What kind of news cycle is this? Are we in that dead period to where Hugh Freeze is going to call plays? I mean, that's big news. That's big news. Hugh Freeze has always called plays. He's figuring things out at Auburn. He's getting his, he's getting on his new shit. He's fixing to start doing some new walking and new stepping. As opposed to the shoes that Nick Saban's wearing, he's got on, "I'm getting my ass out of here" shoes on. Because you see it, and I see that he's leaving. Paul, what's all this stuff yesterday I was listening to you talking about? Well, you know, they was asking you about Nick Saban retiring. You seem to put an awful lot of words in Nick Saban's mouth, something he's never said. You got that little fella sitting on your lap, and you got your arm in his back just moving his face. I mean, you ought to take little fella on the road. Forget James Taylor. You, Paul Feinbaum, and little fella on the road at all these big meetings you go to. It would be a hit, because you know what he's going to say. You script everything for him. And you got to get the little fella to learn to chop his hands left to right three times. Three times. Are you following me, Paul? Are you listening with me?
I'm with you, brother.
Are you with me, brother? Take little fella on the road. That's what we're going to call Paul Feinbaum and little fella. And that's what I tip my hat to the Michigan football team for doing something that just hasn't been done in a while. And that is shut the Bammers the hell up. Now, listen, Paul, I'm going to tell you, have a great day, and I mean for you to sincerely have a great day. War damn Eagle, War Michigan. Have a good one.
Johnny B. is up next.
Thank you, Paul. I, man, brother, 2 days in a row knocking it out of the park. It's so refreshing to hear somebody like that. And then you got the Jim Jones Kool-Aid drinkers like Larry and all these guys. No matter what Alabama does, they got the crimson glasses on and they're looking through them. And, you know, I'm a Bama fan. But I got to say, this, they're not the Bama of old. When Washington, Oregon, and Georgia and Michigan for a season give up 48 sacks combined, and Bama has 49 on their own, not to mention all the pressures, you got to look, there's problems in there. You know, don't you see that?
We see it.
Hey, one other thing. You know, Susie, she's a great caller. She had her picture earlier in the year. She's just such a pretty lady. And she must just have a heart of gold, because that new picture, there's an elderly gentleman in there that she must be sitting with or taking care of. Did you see her picture when it comes up?
I think that's her other.
Okay. Well, it's admirable her to do stuff like that. I need to, you know, try to do stuff like that in my life.
I'm glad to hear you be so magnanimous. AJ is up next.
My best friend, Paul. How you doing, Paul?
AJ.
You know, you really wouldn't have ever made it if it wasn't for me to start calling. You know that, don't you?
I do appreciate that.
You know, a lot of people call in here, Paul, and I'm going to call out I-Man for a minute, because I don't normally do this, but I just melted down a couple of pieces of plastic in prison over here. I'm fixing that to stick him in the side, because he sat there and said, "War Washington" the other day, and now he's back to War Michigan. I mean, hell, he flip-flops as much as you do, Paul. But can we just do this, Paul? You know, everybody likes to talk about history and their experiences in life and their day-to-day whatever with you and books and that nature. But can we talk about culinary conversation right now?
I wish
because
we would.
I was outside.
I'm hungry.
Let's talk about some food. Let's talk about some heated up burnt meat. I was out there rechristening my Blackstone griddle, whatever you want to call it. And as the heat kept getting hotter, I was listening to the show. You know, I was out on the deck and doing a job, you know, getting things done. But I couldn't help but to note it kept getting hotter and hotter. And I just thought, you know, this must be just exactly what legend feels like on that revenge tour. We're on a revenge tour to only get beat like a drum by a man named Jim. Was it Jim from Tuscaloosa legend, or was it Jim from Michigan? Either way it goes, I don't know. Do you know, Paul?
I don't know.
Research that. Put you guys on that. But nonetheless, I'm going to tell all these crying-ass Alabama fans something. You didn't get there because you was not capable, and that is on your coach. Nothing less. War damn Eagle.
Chris is calling from Tuscaloosa. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
So so I didn't get to finish a little bit telling you about what happened New Year's Eve when we were out in Hollywood. And my wife just stepped out of the car. Otherwise, she'd be telling you herself. But we went to a New Year's Eve party there in Hollywood. And, you know, we aren't typically VIP kind of people, right? So the next morning when she and I woke up, she thought I was dead, like flat dead. My tongue was hanging out of my mouth. And she was like, "Oh, my God, he's dead." And I thought, well, that must be how Larry feels like every day, you know, getting up that way. But I'm starting to think that maybe the Auburn fans get up that way every day. I mean, seeing I-Man, like, how blind you have to be. I don't even think he knows who he's rooting for anymore. And all the Auburn fans who are rejoicing in this and all excited about this and all this War Michigan, like, you know what? Maybe you should focus on whether your own team is going to beat Alabama anytime soon. I mean, y'all could have almost done it, but you didn't quite get there. So, again, keep crowing, but let's see what it looks like next year. Let's see if you can actually make it happen. Because I'll tell you, Paul, when I woke up today, I don't know if y'all know this, but in Alabama there were massive, like, we had a power outage from about halftime of the playoff game last night. We're still out of power. We just got power back.
Yeah, no.
So we couldn't even watch the game.
We are, it all moved here today. I mean, it was that type of
day.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, so it's a terrible story.
Well, and you know, that happens. But I guess what I would say is, you know, as I'm looking at the AP poll and the coaches poll, I mean, maybe it's just a straight line numbers game, like, you know, who ended with 12 losses and 12 wins and 2 losses and 13 wins and 1 loss or whatever. You know, Florida State fans are still whining. I can't believe they're still whining. You know, their team had a chance to prove a point, show up, and they didn't do it. They disappeared, right? And that's their choice. That's their player's choice, feeling like they didn't have anything to play for or they had other things that were important to them. But, you know, you can't show up and with a shell of yourself, and then act like, oh, well, we would have won, right? Like, one thing that I hear all the time is that, oh, well, if we had played in there, we would have won that. That isn't how it works, right? Like, if you didn't call in or you didn't make it in, well, like, you know, the best you can do is try to prove out that you should have been in there. I think Georgia did that. I think Georgia absolutely proved, hey, you know what? Maybe best four, maybe they had a legit gripe about it, and the fact that there's only four slots, they couldn't get in from that. But if anybody has that, I think Georgia maybe has that some, but I don't think Florida State can say a word about that anymore. Not with what they put on the field. No, you're right.
Hey, Chris, thank you. We're up against a break, but thank you very much. We are back. Final few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.